As we conclude this morning our very, very special time of worship today, I always love Communion Sundays, just a great time of worship. I want to conclude our time together today by speaking to you about the power of words. I think words are probably one of the most important things that we have in our lives. There's a power to the spoken word that often we can tend to take for granted. We can tend to kind of not pay attention to our words sometimes, not pay attention to the creative force that exists within the spoken word. I mean, if you go back to the book of Genesis and look at all of creation, and when we think about creation, especially maybe as a young person, we think about God sitting up there, taking things and sticking them together and making this and then making that. Well, that's not really how it happened. God did it with the spoken word. He said, "Let there be light." Guess what? It was light. It was good. He said, let there be creatures that crawl upon the earth. And suddenly there were creatures on the earth that were created, and it was good. He said, let us make man in our own image, male and female, let us make them. And they were created, and it was good. Everything that God created was good, and everything that God created, He created by speaking it with this great spoken word. And in many ways, you know, you and I create with our words, not in the same way, but in many ways we can create with the words that we use and the words that we share with one another. Just by using words this morning, I could create within you emotions. Just by using words, I could create within you maybe the inspiration to do action, to maybe do something with yourself or do something with your life. I can use a joke, as I can often do, to make you laugh. I could tell you a story, maybe a poignant story or maybe a sad story that might make you cry. I can tell you something that might, with my words, inspire you, and I could probably say something up here right now that would make you pretty angry. I mean, it's not hard to do sometimes. Words have power. Words matter. Words have meaning. That's why I love to tell stories so much, because all stories are this compilation of a bunch of words that are put together in such a way that they create something in us. They take us back to a past, maybe that we were at years ago, or they give us some sort of inspiration or vision for a future that we haven't seen yet that we would like to see. But I think we take words for granted. And I think especially those words that we read often or see often, we kind of ignore their meaning and minimize their power that exists in our lives. So this morning, in the short time we have, I want to just talk about four words. Just four words. These words are words that we shouldn't ignore. These are words that you can't ignore if you're a Christian. These are words that are at the heart of what Jesus has done for each of us in our lives. They are words that give us life. They're words that we've heard our whole lives. You've read them in the Bible our whole lives, but unfortunately, I'm afraid they're words that we've read so many times we've become somewhat desensitized to them. And maybe we don't pay attention to them in the way we should. Two of those words is found in our New Testament reading in Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses, and I'm going to read that whole section, verses 1 through 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. It goes back to what we've talked about several times, living by the Spirit or living by the flesh. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you're a memorization person for Bible verses, verses 4 and 5, you need to put in your memorization chart, because these are two of the greatest verses in all the Bible. Verse 4 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So the first word we need to really pay attention to, and it's a word you've heard a million times, and it's a word I'm sure you know what it means. It's the word grace. You can't ignore it, because it's amazing. Grace. Now, I know you already know what it means, but in a very simplest form, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Salvation, which we have, salvation is something that we didn't earn. It's something you can't repay God for. It's something that you can never do enough to repay God for. It is a gift from God that even while we were sinners, he died for us. That's grace, getting what you don't deserve. You see, God doesn't wait for you to get right with him. Grace doesn't wait for you to get right with God. Grace is God's way of getting you right with him. You follow me? Grace doesn't wait for you to get right with God. You don't have to get yourself all cleaned up and ready and shined up and, oh, I got myself perfect now. Now I'm going to the church. Now I can go before God. Grace doesn't wait for you to get right with God. Grace is God's way of getting us right with him. Don't ignore it. There's a power there in that word. There's a power and grace in your life. The other word in Ephesians, and there's a lot we could talk about, but in the time we have, the other word in Ephesians is mercy. You see, if grace is getting what you do not deserve, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Right? If grace is getting what you do not deserve, mercy is the fact that you're not going to get what you and I really deserve, because you know what we deserve? We deserve punishment. We've been bad. We've been disobedient. We've done wrong. We deserve hopelessness. We deserve separation from God. But God in his mercy doesn't treat us like we deserve, does he? 103rd Psalm says that. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Don't ignore mercy. Don't ignore mercy, because mercy is God's way of allowing you to not get that which you probably really deserve. Now, there's two other great words that are found, and they're found in the Old Testament reading that I read in the 103rd Psalm. Great words found in there. The 103rd Psalm that says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit." That's a graphic, isn't it? Redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. The third great word is forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's choosing to forget about something that he could very easily remember. God choosing to forget about something that it would be very easy for him to remember about you and me. He separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are remembered no more. So through grace, God forgives us and he shows us his mercy. You see, it all kind of fits together, doesn't it? And then there's that word redemption in the 103rd Psalm. Now, that's a word we don't think about much at all. We might think about love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and all those things. We don't think much about redemption, but redemption is getting back something that's been taken away from you. You see, whether we realize it or not, in our sinful nature, in our sinful state, Satan has robbed you. He has robbed you blind. He has taken away from you your hope and your life and your future and an eternal life. He has taken all of these things from you. He has taken away your relationship with God and your opportunity for a relationship with God. He has taken all of that away. But Jesus is our Redeemer. He's given us back that which was taken away and robbed from us because of sin. He says, I'm going to give it all back to you. And here it is. Here's your hope. Here's your eternal life. You don't deserve it. You can't repay me for it. It's a gift because of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Here it is. I redeem you with all of these things. Recognize the power of these words. You know, we read the Bible so much, at least I hope we do, and you hear the Bible talked about so much, and you go to Bible studies, and you hear sermons preached and all that, and we tend to kind of blow over these words of grace and mercy and forgiveness and redemption as, oh, I know what that means. These are things we need to remember every day in our lives, that the power that they have in our lives, through God's grace and God's forgiveness, He shows us this mercy, and He gives us back. He gives us back those things that we've been robbed of because of the sinful nature of this world. That, I believe, is what we just celebrated. That is what we are celebrating with the Lord's Supper. These are the words that we need to remember every day, every time you eat, every time you drink. And if you're like me, you eat every day at least once. And we drink every day. Every time you eat, every time you drink, we need to remember what Christ has done for us. Remember the power of these words, the power of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and His redemption. Remember these things that He has done for us every single day of our lives. And that's how you walk with a new step. Because this is not just something you celebrate once a quarter. This is not just something you celebrate on Sunday mornings. This is not just something you celebrate at a certain particular kind of table. This is something you celebrate with your life. Every single day of your life. Let's bow and have a moment of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, how can we say thank you enough? How can we possibly say it in words that would really be meaningful? The price you've paid, your willingness to come, your willingness to give of yourself. I mean, let's face it, you're the creator of heaven and earth. You spoke the world into being. Who are we that you would come and show us your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness and your redemption? Thank you, God. May we offer our thanksgiving with our faithfulness, with our faithfully living every day for you, with our faithfully remembering every day these powerful words and what they mean in our lives. Every day, recognizing that today, I have what I have and I am who I am only because of Christ who has died for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these powerful words and how they lead us every day. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.